Please turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Thank you. 2 Timothy chapter 1. I'd like to recognize this morning the men's class and the men that came and cooked breakfast, got here real early and served the ladies that came for breakfast. And Brother Ronald Jean's the teacher of that class, and I'd like for him and the men that cooked breakfast this morning for the ladies to please stand at this time. Amen. Thank you. I have not seen any ladies run to the restroom or anything, so y'all did a good job. I just wanted to wait some, though, before I said thank you on that. And, you know, we might as well confess it. I don't know. I wasn't part of this, but did any women go buy the food? Did they clean up or anything like that? You know, that all the men did the whole thing. That's another, you know. That, you know, when a man grills outside, the lady has to buy it and fix it and prepare it, and he slaps it on the fire, okay? That's how things are done. And 2 Timothy chapter 1, we're looking this morning at godly mothers. And, you know, I'm very thankful for the raising that I had. I did grow up in a Christian home. And my mama and daddy are not perfect by no means, but they did live the best of their ability with God's help, Christian lives in front of me. And I'm very appreciative of both of them and for my mother. I still have my mother. She had a stroke going close to 3 years now and is paralyzed completely on one side. And yet, I can still now communicate with her a lot better than what we could a couple of years ago. And but, you know, Mother's Day, it's a happy day again, but it's a sad day for some. And, you know, but we're here to worship the Lord. And it is Mother's Day, and I want to look at having and being a godly mother. And I'm going to use the scripture to do this because I'm a man. I'm not a mother, and yet God can show us lots of things about being a godly mother. Amen? Okay, 2 Timothy chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. It says, I thank God whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did. As without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Let us pray. Lord, we do thank you for your word, and we ask your blessings upon the reading of your word. Please speak through me. I'm nothing without you. And Lord, may we draw closer to you this morning. Again, we thank you for our mothers and ask your blessings upon them. And not only physical mothers, natural mothers in here, but our spiritual mothers also that are so very important, valuable to this church and to this church's ministry. Please bless them in the name of Jesus. Amen. You know, mothers teach us so much, do they not? I found this and like to share it with you this morning. Things moms teach us. Mothers teach us about foresight. They say this, make sure you wear clean underwear in case you're in an accident. There's another thing mothers teach us about logic. This is what is said. If you fall out of that tree and break your neck, don't come crying to me. Mothers teach us about maturity. They say, eat your vegetables or you'll never grow up. Mothers teach us about religion. They say, you better pray that comes out of the carpet. Mothers teach us about time travel. They say, if you don't straighten up, I'm going to knock you in the middle of next week. Mothers teach us about contradictions. They say, shut your mouth and eat your dinner. Mothers teach us about contortionism. They say, will you look at the dirt on the back of your neck? Mothers teach us about perseverance. They say, you are going to sit here until you eat every last piece of that broccoli. Mothers teach us about genetics. They'll say, you are just like your father. Who's been told that one? Mothers teach us about the weather. They say, it looks like a tornado swept through your room. Mothers teach us about the circle of life. They'll say, I brought you into this world and I can take you out. Mothers teach us so much, do they not? A mother holds so much influence on their children. They have more influence than anybody. You know, a son, for instance, you know, the father or the man may teach them how to play baseball or football and teach them everything about it. But when that professional player comes up to the camera, they say, hi, Mom. Hi, Mom. Why? Because that was where all the influence was. We have so much influence, you mothers. And listen, you godly mothers, the spiritual mothers have so much influence that you just may not realize how much influence you have in our church. And here we see the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, this is the very last letter that he writes before he is beheaded, before the emperor, the Roman Emperor Nero, has him beheaded. And he is writing this letter to Timothy. Timothy was a son in the faith to him. In other words, the Apostle Paul was very active in Timothy's growth in the Lord. And Timothy went on missionary journeys with him, and the Apostle Paul helped him to grow in the faith. And I don't know if Paul led him to Christ or not, because here in this passage it mentions his grandmother and his mother that influenced his faith so much. Now, the Apostle Paul did pray for him, laid his hand upon him, and asked God to bless him in the ministry. Okay? But a son in the faith, and Paul has a great desire to see Timothy before he dies for the cause of Christ. And yet we see a great picture of a heritage of serving God in just these very short passages of verses here that we have. First of all, we see Paul's heritage. Look in verse 3. Again, it says, I thank God whom I serve with a pure conscience as my forefathers did. And as without ceasing, I remember you in my prayers night and day. He was praying for Timothy, but we see also the heritage the Apostle Paul had. Now, before the Apostle Paul came to Christ, he was a Pharisee, and he persecuted the church. He was a a Hebrew of Hebrews from the tribe of Benjamin. And he was keeping the law and did all that he could and as his fathers did to serve God. But see, Christ came, the Messiah came, and he was hanging on to serving God the way he was taught. But see, the Messiah, the Redeemer, had come, and when he met Christ, he let go of all the man's tradition, and he received the Messiah personally on the road to Damascus, and it changed his life because he knew Jesus personally. He had a great heritage. He was a very religious man as his forefathers, but now he had a personal relationship with Jesus Christ himself. He received Christ. He was forgiven of his sins, and no longer was he really relying on his heritage, but now he knew Jesus personally, and it changed his life in such a way that he followed Christ the rest of his life. But he had a heritage, and also he was a spiritual father. You may not have any natural kids, or your kids may be in other states, but spiritual fathers, spiritual mothers, you can have such a great godly influence on our young people in our church. By the way, our young people is going to be leading us in worship, I believe, next Sunday. I'm looking forward to that. You older people, you come and support that. I know many are gone. It's Mother's Day today, but they'll be here next Sunday to lead us in worship. You be an influence upon them. Also, we see this heritage of serving God in verses 5 and 6. He said, the Apostle Paul, speaking to Timothy, says, "When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice." So Timothy had this influence of a godly grandmother that the Apostle Paul knew and his mother. And this heritage of serving God and serving the Lord Jesus Christ and helping in the ministry. They helped the Apostle Paul in the ministry and helped out in the service of Jesus. And Timothy had this heritage of loving Jesus. I had a Timothy experience. I grew up in a Christian home, and it was a natural thing for me. I had to do it twice. The first time I came forward because my cousins came. Everyone was happy. I said, "All right, I'm going to do that." But I actually received Christ as a 10-year-old boy, almost 10 years old, and received him personally. And then it became my relationship with Jesus. But I grew up in a Christian home. That was a natural thing to do, was to be a Christian. And when we got up on Sunday mornings, it wasn't no talk about what we were going to do. Was we going to the lake or to the ballpark or go shopping or sleep late? As Brother James shared in Sunday school this morning, when we got up, before my daddy became a pastor, when he accepted Christ at a late age in life, we was going to church on Sundays. No discussion about it. That's how I grew up, and that's how my children have grown up. Even before I came a pastor, we were in church. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. We were going to church, and that was the heritage I had. That's the heritage some of you have, and that's the heritage, oh God, help America, that we need to return back to. God help. Leave a heritage, leave a godly heritage to your children and grandchildren. And we also see a mother's faithfulness will be remembered. In verse 5, he said, "When I call to remembrance this that is in you, that was first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice," He remembered their service and remembered their ministry and their love for Jesus Christ. And a godly mother's is remembered. They are remembered by their friends. Very quickly, I went to one of my great aunt's funeral, and her friend, she taught the women's class in Fellowship Baptist Church. Before that, my great-grandmother taught the women's class for years at Fellowship Baptist Church. Such a great heritage. But they said her friends told me that Dottie Price would all, when they'd come, when she became homebound, the women of that church had a ministry of visiting together and giving the bulletin, and she would always tell them to keep oil in their lamps. That was one of her sayings, and you can read all about that parable about the wise and foolish young maidens who should keep oil in their lamps. But a heritage, and she was remembered by their friends, and they are remembered by their family, their faithfulness, their commitment. Their mother's faithfulness is remembered by their family, by their children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, if they're blessed. And of course, a mother's commitment is remembered by her church, is it not? I hear stories about y'all. But one of the stories of Cooper Baptist Church was Miss Atchison would bring all those boys, her family, to church. And Brother Dan would be underneath the church playing marbles or something like that. But she'd bring them all to church, very committed. And she'd go to sleep sometimes. The only time she had rest, they would say, was when she was at church because of those boys and the family that they were raising. Where did I hear that from? I did not hear that from Brother Dan. I've heard it from three other people of this church that actually saw it. Okay? That's remembering, is it not? That dear lady's faithfulness and commitment. And I hear stories, don't have time to tell them all, but that commitment, that faithfulness is remembered by many, many people. And most of all, the Lord knows, right? The Lord knows. Verse 7, we see a genuine faith, what it means and what it is. Again, he says that in verse 5, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith. This is a faith that is unhypocritical. I mean, no one's perfect. We all need forgiveness. We all need to repent and grow in Christ and live for Christ and repent. And it's a life of repentance and faith and growing in Christ. But this is a faith that is unhypocritical. And what does that mean? It tells us some in verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now, this unhypocritical faith means that it is a faith that is committed. It's a faith, it speaks of commitment. It speaks of being persistent. If you have fallen down, get back up. Amen? Get back to being faithful. Get back to being committed. And this was kind of faith that Timothy was used to. His heritage was a faith of commitment and faithfulness and being persistent. And this faith was also in Timothy because they passed it down on what it meant to be faithful, what it meant to be committed and persistent with your faith. And this genuine faith also means that it is loving. It's loving. Loving is an action word. It means to love. It's action. It speaks in Christianity. It means ministry. It means serving. It means speaking the truth in love. It's being a witness. How can we show God that we love Him? By obeying Him. Amen? That's the only way. We love Him because he first loved us. And Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. We want to do what he says. We want to live for him. We want to be a witness for him because we love him. Amen. And he first loved us. Also, this genuine faith is real when it is tried. When the testing of our faith produces patience. When the testing of our faith, the various trials that we go through and live through matures us more in the faith. So it is real when it is tried. And this love, it's powerful faith. And it's not a spirit of fear, but it's a power of love and of a sound mind. Amen? So it's real. It is genuine when tried. You know, a mother's love is tried many times, is it not? A mother's love is tried when they bring that beautiful little baby home and then they got to feed it. Then they got to change it. Then they got to get up in the middle of the night. And if you're a good husband, you ought to help her, okay? But that's trying love, is it not? Got to be faithful, committed. And, you know, then they grow up. And sometimes there's trying times. And a mother's love is tested. And yet it keeps loving. And it is very, very persistent, that mother's love. And that's the way God loves us. Amen. I'm fixing to close in just a second, okay? But it's a love that is so persistent and commitment, and that's the kind of love God has for every one of you, okay? It is a faithful love. It's a persistent love. And if you do not know Him as your personal Lord and Savior, if you do not know Jesus, He demonstrated that love at the cross of Calvary. He loved you so much that while you were yet His enemy, He died for you. While you were dead in trespasses and sins, Christ died for you. And now if you would just receive Him by faith and trust in Christ, He loves you so much that He will bestow grace upon you and save you. Amen? That's love. And I want to give you an opportunity to do that. If you have never received Christ, you can come forward during the invitation and you can ask Jesus in your heart right where you're at. You can come and make it public. But I'll be here to help you all that I can. Let's pray. Lord, again, we thank You for Your precious Word and the great love You have for us. Help us to tend to eternity. In Jesus' name, amen.